The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region. A proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Well, here we are again. Thanks for joining us and welcome to the Clean and Sober Radio Show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what's new this week in recovery news?
So we have some interesting news. Magic mushrooms are incredibly good at fighting alcoholism, according to a new study out of NYU. It was the largest study of its kind in terms of measuring how psilocybin affects mental health. Basically, what they found was they had a group of 95 participants, and 48% of the volunteers who received a magic mushroom treatment stopped drinking entirely after 8 months, whereas just 24% of the placebo group stopped drinking altogether.
Right. And as we know, the state of Oregon is in the process now legalizing psilocybin or magic mushrooms. I got to tell you something. I know some people I grew up with who took a lot of psilocybin, and they were never right again. Okay.
I am one of them, Gary.
Well, I didn't want to say that. What else you got?
So for the second story we got is a sad story. Woman gave pet dog meth, according to court documents. And this comes out of Coleraine Township, Ohio. The case of a 44-year-old woman who allegedly gave her pet dogs methamphetamines went before Hamilton County grand jury on September 7th. Sheila Nobalski, 44, is facing animal cruelty charges. She had two companion dogs, and she was given the meth. They went over, and these dogs needed medical care. And this is just another example, Gary, of what we talk about, how addiction affects everybody around us in a negative way.
Such poor decisions. You know, anytime that, you know, and we have discussed this many times, anytime that somebody abuses children or animals, it is not to be tolerated.
It's not to be tolerated, and it's just another sign, too, where we've seen meth infiltrating the market on the East Coast, as well as always been there on the West Coast. It's a huge problem right now.
And, you know, people that don't have pets or don't get the pet thing, you know, they'll just say, oh, they're just dogs. Well, let me tell you something. These pets we don't know how smart they are. They have a heart, they have a brain, and it makes me sick to hear a story like that.
It does, and, you know, we've talked about it before. If you are using and you can't stop, keep your drugs locked up. We're hearing stories of kids getting killed from fentanyl. Just make sure to be as safe as you can.
Yeah. You know, today our show is going to be about the subject of relapse. And, you know, is it a cop-out to relapse? Is it a ticket to get high to relapse? Is it expected and accepted to relapse? And is relapse a part of recovery? So when we come back, we're going to get the answers to all those questions from a very distinguished panel of people who we will introduce when we get back. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert, caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campuses, offices in Devon, PA, and Mays Landing, New Jersey. They tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY today.
Hey, this is Jackie Marling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Marling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You can also hear us on these great stations across America. KDWN out of Las Vegas, Nevada, WHFS out of Tampa, Florida, and WGAC out of Augusta, Georgia. And, of course, we are live right now on WWDB out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. All right, as we let's start the show. Relapse. So first, let's introduce the guest. Kevin Heyer is a person in recovery. He has started an organization, Heyer Calling, and it's an organization to help our community in recovery get back into the swing of things, get back into life, jobs, education. I mean, just all sorts of stuff that we need once we are sober, clean and sober. That's not the end of it. We need to get back into the story, and we're gonna get a little more information. We're also with Robin Johnson, and Robin is I'm not gonna say how old you are because you look way younger. You know, you're a woman who's had the pleasure of identifying as yourself as a raging alcoholic, 20 years plus drinking, 5 rehab centers in less than 9 months, and a whole host of toxic and horrible situations that have happened to you. But you're here to tell the story, and you've had relapses as you said in this bio, and we're gonna talk all about that. You know, I just got to say, when we asked a couple questions before we went to break, when I got sober in the early '80s, relapse was not a part of this scenario, was not a part of the equation. So I just like to know, and that's for me, that's how I was brought up. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean that I couldn't have used, I just didn't. I was one of the lucky ones. So what do you guys think of relapse? Is it a cop-out? What is it? Kevin, why don't you start?
Oh, Lord. If I had the answer to that question with certainty, the world would be an easier place. I don't know that I know with certainty. Excuse me. I said, if I had an absolute answer to that, the world would be in a simpler place because this is such a complicated topic.
Yeah.
Is it a cop-out? I don't think it's my place to say that. I think it's part of the journey for some people. For other people, it's not. I've been blessed that since I've been in recovery, I've not had to go there. But by the grace of God, that could be me someday, so I'm in no room to judge anyone else.
Yeah.
I know what's worked in my recovery journey, and that works for me, but I take it a day at a time.
Yeah.
So I know what today is, and today is I'm not drinking.
Yeah, and I think possibly a relapse is what makes somebody get sober.
Sure.
So it's really not black and white at all, and it's a complicated. It is, as you said, complicated. Robin, what are your feelings on that?
Sure. I mean, that's a very, very complicated question. But Gary, I think you're right. I mean, the first time I went into my first program, I thought I was going to be a one and done. I was so convinced that I had all the tools that when I got out of that bubble of rehab, that I was going to make the best decisions. And I found out very fast that wasn't the case for myself. And I, like Kevin said, I think it's up to everybody, their program, how they handle it. And I'm not sure... Gary, if you want to shed some more light on that.
maybe well, Mark wants to.
Well, it's huge. I'll tell you, a lot of times it happens, unfortunately. I see as a counselor, it's a shame because you see somebody's working so hard sometimes, and they still relapse, and it can be so frustrating. And you know, I've had some times where people actually had underlying mental health issues that weren't being treated, and they would be going to meetings, they would do everything they could, and it wasn't until both things were treated at the same time that they were able to be sober. And so it's a very frustrating area.
You know, look, it's a disease. And I think one of the dangerous parts of it is if you do relapse and you don't tell anybody, then, you know, you're only as sick as your thoughts. So it can be a relapse can be a positive thing and can be a real negative thing if you're not honest. You know, the honesty part of this program is absolutely key. And of course, if you're not honest, you're only hurting yourself. So, but nobody wants to see anybody else hurting themselves, you know?
And it's such a shame-based thing for somebody. It's so hard to come out and say, I messed up, right? I mean, there's so much shame for a lot of people. Did that hit you, Robin, in the beginning?
That's the hardest part, honestly, is coming out and saying, yes, I messed up. Here's what I need to do to fix it. But sometimes you don't know how to fix it. And that's the problem that I think we suffer with as alcoholics or addicts. We don't know where to go, what to do. And we're given the tools, but sometimes we don't use them.
Well, I think you're right, because we talk about it on the show a lot. When that point comes, when you make a decision that you need to get help, you better have some answers already, because it's very hard, even through the medical community, to get the right answers. And that's a scary thing. That's why we say, just like on your refrigerator, you have poison control, you should have a number such as this one, the American Substance and Abuse Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-HELP is a number that should be on everybody's refrigerator. If you're just joining us now, Mark and I are talking about relapse, and it's an interesting subject, and a lot of people, we got a lot of people lined up here already that are watching the show. Let's just go through some of them. And we're hoping they call in at our new phone number at 1-888-728-9941. That is 1-888-728-9941. Just like Paulette Capwell. Monty Man is watching from California.
Take 12 radio.
That's exactly right. Linda Garrity is watching. She's the one who has the movie out, Our American Family, which is fantastic. Bob Moeller, Debbie Reynolds, Colleen Kilkenny, Joel Cooper. Hi, Joel. Let's see. Who else? Judith Teal. Anna Zafer is watching from the Philippines.
Very cool. All over the world.
That's right. Laura Story, Bob Moeller, Friday with the Guys, have a great show. Kathy Wolf Collin, Judge Christopher Maddox is watching. Another great guy.
My friend Jackie Molica is watching.
Yeah.
We also have Bob Moeller has a really good question. He says, do you think that relapse is part of the denial in your recovery? And I think that in many cases, it absolutely is. But I wanted to hear what you guys think.
What does that mean, the denial?
So that means that somebody doesn't see it. You know, when they say denial, I'll run into where somebody says, I got this. And then I'm like, so are you going to meetings? What are you going to do about it? And they're like, no, I don't really need meetings. You know, I don't really need support. I'm just going to stay clean on my own. And the denial is, I don't need help to deal with this problem. That's just an example of it, you know, or maybe I can moderate, you know, maybe I can go back and do that. So,
yeah. You know, when we put this out last night, I got some responses. We got some responses actually on Facebook. And these are just a couple. I'm not going to mention who they are, obviously. People who slipped did not follow directions. What do you think of that one? What directions? Good orderly directions?
I guess so. What do you think, Kevin? Kevin took a big, deep breath there. You heard it across the table.
If it were only so simple that there was one set prescription for doing this, you know, there are different recovery forms. You know, there's Celebrate, there's Refuge, there's the 12-step model. You know, when I think of recovery for me, and just obviously this has been my journey, you know, there's mental relapse before the physical relapse. And that's what I find so invaluable about going to meetings is the fact that it keeps your mind in that right those right channels, so that when you start deviating out and you cease talking to, say, a sponsor, you go in directions that lead to those relapses, you know, like the negative thinking, the resentment. Like one of the best lines I learned in rehab is resentment is drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Those are the, that's the relapse thinking that leads to the actual relapse. So, you know, I don't think there's just one way to do it.
No, there definitely isn't. People who slip backed off from meetings and others in the program.
Oftentimes, that's the case if they're doing the program. What and basically on a bigger level, they go more into isolation. So even if they're not doing meetings, they're pulling away from their support system, and that's one of the early warning signs that we see before relapse. Often,
absolutely. I was told to remind everybody, if you want to listen, and not just listen and watch us do the show live, go to Facebook and to our Facebook page, Clean and Sober Radio, at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And because, you know, all these people that are watching us, we're sending their names, they're all doing the same thing. They're on Facebook, they're on Clean and Sober Radio, and they're getting a real kick out of this show. It's another dimension than just hearing it, you know?
Yeah, you can watch us.
Do what?
I don't know.
Mark, you know how long we've been doing this?
It seems like it's going years now, Gary. Let me tell you.
Years?
Yes.
Well, you've been on here, what, six years?
I got more gray hairs.
Well,
couple
about that.
From the beginning.
But this show's been on for 9 years.
Jeez, I didn't know it was 9 years.
Well, you've been here 6 years or 7 years.
I didn't know it was 6 or 7 years. I mean, that's insane, Gary.
So it's cool. I mean, you know.
And all our friends have been, most of our friends and you know, the people watching on Friday afternoons. It's like a tight-knit community, Clean and Sober Radio, don't you think?
Well, I don't know if you were here when I said it. We have 5,000 followers now. That's good, right?
Really good.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. People who slip planned it. It was not a weakness of the moment. Kevin, I think that's what you were saying. It just doesn't there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of motion to get ready to get high.
These things are so circumstance specific. What I mean by that is, sure, somebody could start thinking through those mental relapses of thinking, you know, start fantasizing, you know, war stories, those things we all know to try to avoid embracing triggers, okay, and then let yourself open, you know, Pandora's box. But you could also be in a situation where you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're going to meetings, you talk to your sponsor, you know, you're trying to embrace, you know, serenity in your life, gratitude in your life, if it's appropriate, medicated assisted treatment. And then you suddenly find yourself in a situation with somebody from your past, and you make a mistake. And by the grace of God, we all could.
Yeah, but you shouldn't find yourself with somebody in your past.
I agree.
That's the part I don't agree with. Look, Robbie, you've had, obviously, you've been to 5 or 10 or 100 rehabs, whatever. I'm only kidding. what happened each time you relapsed in your life?
I think it really comes down to you manipulate yourself, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the big M word right there. Yeah. You talk yourself into, okay, I can go back. I can do this. I don't need those meetings. I don't need those people.
Yeah.
And I don't need my family. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And I think that's really what it comes down to. But at the end of the day, Gary, you wake up the next morning and you're just in a nightmare of what you've created.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
And if you're honest with yourself, it's awful. If you're in super denial, make up, you know, we can make up, you know, in our heads and our we're in recovery. We can make up such stuff in our head to rationalize or justify any kind of behavior.
I mean, I used to write post-it notes to myself like, hey, Robin, don't do this. But at the same time, I would read it and I'd be like, I'm going to do it because my mind is focused on that. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people when we don't stay incredibly focused on what we need to do.
Yeah,
I think that's how we fall back into a relapse situation.
And be complacent, you know, as you said.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been sober for this amount of years. It's cool. You know, okay, that one.
That little one thing
gets you. That little tiny pill. How can it do any damage? You know? Hey, give us a call, 1-888-728-9941. Get involved with this conversation. We'd love to hear stories about how and why you relapsed, or how you stopped yourself from relapsing.
Yeah, and isn't it crazy that our own brains are battling. You know, like one part of the brain, the old reptilian brain and our frontal cortex, I don't want to get into terms, is literally fighting. Like, I don't want to do it. Yes, you do. You know, there's a nickname for that. They call it slick. Slick is the disease, you know, the slick. Disease talking. Yeah.
Well, Mark, I heard this way back in rehab. Your addiction is just doing push-ups in your head and waiting to get out.
Yeah, and it's so smart about it, you know? It's so smart and cunning. And I think people that don't have addiction issues are probably like, what are they talking about?
Of course.
Battling your own head.
Yeah.
But I think everybody around this table is shaking. Can you relate with that, Kevin?
Just a tad. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because Mark and I do talk about this. I don't care how long we've been sober. Have you ever been in somebody's house and used their bathroom and opened up the medicine cabinet just to see what's in there?
I've never done that. I think we've all done
that. We've all done it, right? So it's, you know, that kind of behavior, as long as you don't act on it, it's cool. Sure. But, you know, other people go, why would I look in somebody's medicine cabinet who don't have this addiction?
Whether they're not in recovery or not, I think people sometimes do that. But, yeah, I hear you.
And
I
mean, curiosity is dangerous, too, isn't it? I mean, you know, just take a look. Why don't you smell it? You know, like, I can lead to a relapse right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta be vigilant.
But it is amazing how our brains, you know, it's a constant. It is a battle. Some is harder for others, but it's constant.
It really is.
You know, I saw an ad yesterday on television. I'm gonna tell you something. I really never liked the taste of alcohol. I like narcotics, but this glass, as it was being filled up with beer, it looked really good.
On a hot day. And you know, one of the big ones now is marijuana. You know, you have it opening up dispensaries all over the place. And, you know, a lot of people are struggling with that now.
You know? Yeah. Listen, Bob Mueller's saying he's trying to get us on Facebook. That's fine. Mundell Lewis is watching. Nancy Minnick is watching. Nancy. Judge Maddox, I guess he's not on the bench right now. Great day to watch and listen. Sourav Kiana, I hope I didn't screw your name up. Wow, this is awesome, this show. Shelley Porter Williams watching out of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Right?
Yeah, Laura.
Yeah, go ahead.
Laura Stories has denial. Didn't even know I am lying.
That's right.
So true.
Isn't that true? You know, Monty Man says, I strongly believe relapse is never a part of recovery until it happens. It all depends on how you respond to it, assuming you live through it. Well, it's a crapshoot, isn't it?
It is, and you know, I'll tell you, as a clinician, when you have somebody come in that's talking about this relapse, we're always looking at, so what was working to stay clean, but what can we add to your program now? You know, what other things, what was missing, you know? And maybe it is a mental health thing, or maybe it is they didn't have sponsor and meetings and all that stuff. And yeah, pretty tricky stuff.
And nowadays, with fentanyl, you relapse once, it could be the end of the whole end.
We don't have the time anymore. And that's why a lot of this, you know, medically assisted treatment with opiates is so crucial, because you don't have the time for somebody to go and, you know, try it out again and all this because of the fentanyl, and they go and overdose and die. I mean, it's that bad right now.
Yeah, absolutely. 1-888-728-9941. Do you believe that a slip is planned or just miraculously happens? When we come back, we'll discuss it.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. the Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HireCalling.org. That's HYERCalling.org. And find out how we can help you.
Hey, this is Andy Powell of Wishbone Ash, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You know, before the break, I put out the question, you think this is a planned thing or it's a spur of the moment. And Kevin, you responded where, you know, if you're with somebody you shouldn't be with, and you, I guess I do take a hard line, and I do believe people, places, and things. You surround yourself with the old people. You know what they say, you lay down the railroad tracks long enough, you're going to get run over. So you have to take some kind of responsibility for a relapse, right? I mean, that's my opinion. It doesn't have to be anybody else's opinion.
Kevin, you had a point about that you were talking about.
Well, this is a disease. When I practiced employment law, you know, we start with things we can agree on when we're negotiating. We can all agree this is a disease. Diseases flare up at times. You know, the symptoms reappear, you manage it, and you keep going. So I don't think people should have to beat themselves up forever about a relapse. I think they should figure out what happened. You know, were you no longer going to meetings? Did you ineffectively manage your people, places, and things? You know, are you in, you know, not being candid with yourself about what you, where you are? You're not talking to the people in your life. So I just think it's like any disease. It happens. I don't think that we should stigmatize people for it or shame them, because then they're not going to want to talk about it when they need the help. You know, but at the same time, I think you're correct too. You need to look in the mirror and figure out how did this happen, because relapse is not a guaranteed part of recovery, in my opinion. You know.
That's my right. Opinion. Yeah.
I'm wondering, how did you finally get it, Robin?
I'm still trying to get it every day. Honestly. Yeah,
that's a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, you can't give up every day. I mean, there's days where I fall, and I have to pick myself up. And I think the hard part for me, we live in a society where you celebrate by drinking. When you're happy, you're sad, you get promotions, you get a new job. And I think that's something that we don't really address as far as mental health is concerned. And I think that goes behind the bottle or the drug. And I'll just say that.
Yeah. But what was that defining moment? Was there a defining moment? Was it fear? Was it you just had enough?
I think you just have enough, and you're like, all right, am I going to die or do I want to live? And that's where it comes to the point. And I decided I want to live, and it's difficult, but I know the track I need to take to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And it's an everyday battle, trust me.
Yeah. Is it easier or more difficult for you? You've relapsed five times, whatever. Is it harder? I mean, I could see myself going, well, I relapsed five times. What's another time? I mean, I came out of it all right. I mean, does that ever?
Sure.
Does, right?
Absolutely. I think it comes down to your brain's tricking you again. Like, yeah. it wants to come out and play, like that beast in the cage. And I think that's part of human nature, too. You know, you think you can do something as long as you can push it, and you push the envelope until the envelope just doesn't get pushed anymore, if that makes sense.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
All too well.
All too well. Look, we've been around. I got 40. He's got 20. How many 20? What?
22.
22. Yeah. And, you know, this never goes out of your head. I don't care who you are, you know. There's always thinking, watching. You know, I've been sober for so many years. Maybe I wasn't an addict. How could I be sober for decades? And then it's like, now you better, you better get rid of that, those thoughts. Because, I mean, I'm around, I'm never around people that are taking drugs. But, you know, I go out to dinner and people are drinking. And a lot of people are very respectful, say, do you mind? Which is nice. And I always say no. But, you know, you look at it. You look at them pouring it sometimes. It looks good, you know, especially when it's hot out. Right, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, and it's crazy because I don't know about you guys, but you get sometimes you get thoughts of all different kinds of drugs. You know, it's not just the drug of choice. It's like there's all these different ones, you know?
What would it be like?
Yes.
What's that high like?
Yes.
Right?
I get it when I'm watching. Sometimes I get it when I'm watching Locked Up Abroad and you see the big things of drugs. So it's like we have to be careful even what we watch on TV.
You know, you're right about that. That show in particular is the scariest because normal people can end up. Normal people, not even abroad, normal people with addiction can and do end up in prison, which is really sad, a very sad state of affairs.
And sometimes I guess it's like that's like that moment of clarity. I've had some people that really struggled and they actually went to prison and some of them get clean in there.
Yeah.
You know, some of them get clean.
And some people get because of relapse, you know, enough relapse, they get clean. You know, that's why insurance companies need to keep paying for treatment because you're a prime example. Five times, the sixth time it works, let's say. And that's, you know, not paying is penny wise and dollar foolish.
C. Ruger writes, took me 40 years to get the time I have now. Every time I relapsed, I had already relapsed in my mind.
Yeah.
And I relapsed a lot until I surrendered. And that goes along with Monty Man from Take 12 says that you got to go back to that first step. And if people aren't familiar with that first step, it's admitting powerlessness. Right?
Yeah, that first step. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something about those steps.
You have to give up the steering wheel of your own life. You can't drive your own car anymore because that's just going to drive it into the ditch.
That's hard for somebody like me.
You have to live life on life's terms.
Yeah.
1-888-728-9941. Again, if you want to watch us, it's a lot of fun. We have fun doing the show. Serious subject. Go to Facebook, Clean and Sober Radio. And also, more importantly, if you're in trouble, if you need help, give a call to the 1-800-662-HELP line. And, you know, and once you get into recovery, Kevin, what do? They call you? Is that the next step?
I would welcome it. I am the CEO and founder of the Higher Calling Foundation, and the Higher Calling Foundation provides no-cost post-rehab support services that promote securing employment. I'm an employment attorney by my background. I'm also in recovery from meth addiction. And I go out there and I tell my story to break stereotypes of methamphetamine addiction. Hey, even lawyers in a big city can deal with this demon that is meth. And I use that background to help get people back to work. So we provide resume review, job placement assistance, interview preparation, grants sometimes to get additional skills, assistance, pre-building professional networks, networking events, coaching through the International Coaching Federation. We have a host of services in our portfolio. You contact us if you're in good faith recovery. That's all we ask. Whatever program you're working, it's your business. But good faith recovery, we turn no one away and we charge nothing.
And how do they reach you, Kevin?
Well, they go to hirecalling.org, H-Y-E-R calling. It's a play on words of my last name.
Yeah.
And it's all from there, the information. The website has my email address, phone number, and from there, the staff or team will get you lined up.
Hirecalling.org,
H-Y-E-R.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a plan. If your last name was H-I-G-H-E-R.
That might be appropriate.
It might be a little appropriate. And, you know, we didn't mention that, Robin, you're a licensed attorney, non-practicing, though, right? And you're giving back? You're working in the field?
Trying, yes.
Trying,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, reestablishing myself right now. So.
Great. Does it feel good?
It feels great. You know, I'm trying to figure out where my next direction's going. So I'm kind of doing what Kevin's doing, is giving back to the field and trying to help people. And I think it really comes down to education.
Yeah. And you know, it's so important what you guys are doing because, you know, we as a community in recovery, you know, if it's good faith recovery for real, we are great workers, man. And we produce. And, you know, we're as good or better than the next guy because we've seen it all. And we just want to get a chance or an opportunity to show that we're cool, you know?
That's a huge component of what my organization does. I mean, there are three components. The first one is simply breaking stereotypes, because stereotypes reinforce stigma, and stigma reinforces addiction. And that's where my background as a recovering meth addict and employment attorney comes into play. The second piece is obviously raising money to provide those services. Okay, and the third is educating organizations on the value of hiring people in recovery. It's good business. We do cultural competence training. We see this as a social justice issue. We think people in recovery add to the diversity of an organization, and we educate employers every day about why hiring someone in recovery is simply good business. So go to our website to learn more on that.
All right, so let's just say you have a relapse. What do you do right then and there? What do you do?
Reach out for help. Right.
And what would you do right now if you relapsed? And you know, I mean, this is a difficult subject, because if you relapse, you're usually not in the state of mind to
That's
make a good
problem.
Decision.
Well, and the problem is that it comes down to, you think, well, it's already done. I might as well just go and try to enjoy myself.
Right.
You know, which That's turns right. into an absolute disaster.
Right. Right.
You know, yeah. That's why, like, some people, like, they come back a day later, and I mean, the courage it takes to do that, because a lot of people just ride that boat again until something bad happens.
And you know, somebody this morning told me this, and I had to write it down. It's easier to stay sober than to get sober again. You know, it's easier.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, right away you can, you know, try to make contact with your old acquaintances in the program. Go to meetings. It's all free.
Go anyway.
Go yeah. right.
Yeah,
it's a form
and just,
of service too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
go to meetings even if you don't have it yet, right? Because then you'll eventually get it.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
And that's I can only imagine how difficult that is to go back into a meeting and say, "I've relapsed."
Pick up a white key tag.
Is that reverse honesty?
That's an NA.
Yeah, NA. Yeah, yeah. Listen, this is a disease again. You know, I know this is a little far-fetched, but if you had diabetes and if you had cancer and these stuff flares up, there's no shame. There's shame in this still.
And there shouldn't be.
And there shouldn't
because
be.
Because the shame reinforces the addiction. When you can't talk about it, you don't tell people.
You know what else I think reinforces addiction? Anonymity. I am, for me, totally against anonymity, unless it's for work and you're worried you're going to get fired from some creep. But to keep this secret, I don't think does anybody good. You agree with that? You don't have to disagree.
Gary always brings this up, and it's always a very – people don't realize it's a very controversial statement right there. But, no, I still believe that there's some, you know, value in anonymity. But I do agree with you in the day of Facebook and all this stuff. Like, the more you can get it out, the more it's an example to other people. I don't know if Bill W. would have looked at that in this time of age and pushed it as much.
All right, so what are you saying? You agree with me or not?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a good answer, man.
I really don't know. Part of me agrees and part of me
disagrees. Black and white.
It's not black and white, yes.
But I just, for me, keeping this a secret, man, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I guess one of the reasons why, you know, they say at press, radio, and films, because if somebody relapses, then people look at that and are like, well, that program doesn't work.
For a famous person, yeah. Well, listen, to say that is another irrational thought. Like, you know what? I'm not going to get sober because it doesn't work.
Well, that would be like saying if somebody didn't fully recover from any traditional, you know, disease where there was medication. If you don't recover from diabetes, then diabetes treatment doesn't work. Well, that doesn't mean it didn't work for you.
You're right.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
it's a very good point. Robin, what do you think
about anonymity?
Yeah.
I actually agree with you, Gary. I've actually become more open in sharing my story, because if we don't educate people, how are they going to understand what we go through?
Yeah.
They've never been to rehab. They've never been in treatment. They don't understand the thoughts that go through our head. So how can we rationally expect them to be on the same page as us?
Yeah. I mean, I used to hear people, when they thought about meetings, AA meetings, oh, they're a bunch of like fanatical freaks. In those meetings, in those churches, you know, it's all like weird stuff, but it's not weird at all.
And you never dreamed that you'd end up there.
I didn't know.
Never.
I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know I never heard the word, I don't think, AA until I had to go into a
I never dreamed I'd end up there. I'll tell you that much.
It was always somebody else?
Yeah. Oh, I just never dreamed. I mean, you know, denial or what, you know? I mean.
Well, they say denial's more than just a river in, where's the river?
Egypt.
Egypt. Brad.
You had me for a minute there.
And it's hard to get Brad, but yeah, it's I remember being terrified going to the first one, and I've run into that all the time with clients. They're like, man, I can't go. I don't want to go. And part of that must be the stigma, you know, that I'm going to AA or I'm going to NA. And
well, I'd offer a thought that I see, you know, to me, going to meetings is a form of service. But when you share your story with people, when you come out about being in recovery, you know, you give hope to people that may not be so comfortable talking about it. You know, there was a time I remember telling my parents at their kitchen table in Goochland, Virginia, and if they're watching, they'll remember this. I never wanted to talk about getting over meth addiction, okay? But I talk about it now to give hope to people that you can. It's recovery month. We do recover. All around us, we see the negative stories. We see the people who are being arrested for offenses committed while they're impaired. We see the tragedy around addiction. And there is a heartbreaking element of addiction, but we do recover. And that comes when people talk about this, share their stories, and then it's not so other, you know? It's like, okay, that person at work, who's my friend, my colleague, they're in recovery. It reduces the fear when we talk about it.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Well, I think it's going in that direction, even the legal system. You know, it's not, they know they can't incarcerate this whole epidemic by incarceration and its treatment, and even the legal system is starting to, because it's out there, the press, what's this stuff called? Facebook and all that?
Social media.
Social media, right. That's what it's called. Thanks, Mark. So it's really getting out there. And, you know, there are very few people that can say, I don't know anybody who had a problem with addiction. Very few.
It's touched every family.
Yeah, I don't care who you are, how much you have, how smart you are, how good looking you are, how, you know, powerful you are. It doesn't matter at all.
These days, right?
It's a great equalizer. You can be at a 12-step meeting and you may be the president of the company or someone in a lower position. You're all walking the same road.
You know, and there's a movie that just came out. Our dear friends from the suburbs of Philadelphia, Our American Family, you know, guys, check it out. It was released in Philly, New York, and Los Angeles 2 weeks ago. And I think, you know, Linda's watching right now. I think you can get it on. Do you know right now? Is it?
I just know it's raw, real, and relatable. Those were my words.
Just
my
Google. Google the movie. Yeah. It's so powerful.
You have to see this.
To see, you know what it showed me? Just what I said. Whatever it looks like on the outside of the house, you don't know what's going on inside that house, whoever it is. And this is a powerful movie.
It's a must see.
It's a must see is definitely what it is. Let's see, check us out on Facebook, Clean and Sober Radio, like these, good folks. Rich Rosenbaum is, in Florida watching, Robin Davis, Dan Campbell, Charles Wolf, Patrick Aaron, David England is watching. I wonder if he's in England. I don't know.
Possibly.
I just saw an old friend on here. Wait a minute. Denise Leckerman is watching. Let's see what else. I wonder if the people from RCA are watching.
Think so?
Yeah. So, Robin, was it hard for you to admit you had relapsed each time? And was it different? Was it different for you each time you relapsed?
I was talking to Kevin yesterday about this, and it gets harder every single time. You fall into that slippery slope, and it's so easy to fall back into that path of destruction. The chaos that we crave as alcoholics and addicts, that's what we want. Absolutely. I fell so hard each and every time.
I give you credit for admitting it.
Thank you.
I'll tell you something, that must be really, really difficult.
It certainly was. You know, there's a lot of shame and guilt involved in that. You know, admitting to my family, the people I've hurt, my husband, my parents who feared for my life, and they probably fear right now, you know. You never know when you're going to fall back into that painful addiction.
Absolutely. When the phone rings, they don't know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you something. When I was in my addiction, I didn't care one bit about anybody in my family until I was on the receiving end of it, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to take a break right now. And, you know, let's just keep this conversation going. How about the shame of relapse? Can we talk a little bit about that when we come back?
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
I was the fifth child born. My mom's youngest. She suffered with anorexia nervosa. It shows up just like addiction. She looked like she was dying all the time. I had goals and aspirations and it didn't matter. There was no regard for what I needed. It was about what she needed and what I needed to do to make that happen. With addiction, you grow up with it. You have a first husband with it. You have your kids that are struggling with it. I promised my kids, we all get out alive. We all survive this.
888-728-9941. Okay. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You know what? I really give you credit for, you know, I sometimes think to myself, this is, you know, the old crap in your head. If I went out after 40 years, would I tell anybody?
If you were able to, Gary.
Huh?
If you were able to.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Because it's a progressive fatal illness. It only gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and you know what? I can't go back to my old drugs because they don't make them anymore.
Yeah, you're fortunate.
I would find something else. I know that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, it's one of those things where you were talking about it, Robin, the pain of a relapse is indescribable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it alters everything in your entire life, and not just your life. You're affecting so many different people that are involved with you.
Who relied on you? Like, oh, finally she's got it. And then bang, you go out again?
Yeah.
Try to repair that.
I know.
That trust is impossible.
I was talking to my father this morning and he's listening right now you know, we try to reason why I did what I was doing.
Right.
And I didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
Cunning, powerful, and baffling.
Yeah. Right.
And heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's awful.
There is hope, though.
Could you, Carla, could you say, to answer that question, if somebody said, how did you get diabetes? I don't know. Right?
I mean.
But we feel like we have to explain that the addiction, not the other illnesses, as you mentioned, Kevin. You know, it's because this illness is really still not really tolerated universally.
And pleasure's a loaded word. You know, people just think, you got high to feel good. And it's not that.
No.
There's so much more to it, you know. And,
I'll tell you, it's funny. I had an observation the other day talking to a good friend in recovery. You know, when you think about when you first start using drugs and alcohol, the pleasure from it is much greater than the downsides. But it's like an inverse, like, graph. The longer you use drugs or alcohol, the amount of pleasure falls and the negatives increase. And to me, that just fits with – that was my experience and my friends, that fits with the progressive fatal nature of the disease that, you know, with the kindling effect, it just gets worse over time when you relapse.
Absolutely. Monty, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you? Guys. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, my friend.
Hey, buddy. I just wanted to chime in on the shame piece.
Yeah.
I got to tell you a story. So 25 years ago, September 1st was the last time I went out. And it was a relapse after a number of years of being clean and sober. The shame and the embarrassment kept me away from going home longer than the dope did. And I remember parking outside of my house, and my wife had taken giant pieces of butcher paper and had painted with spray paint, "Just come home, we can work through anything, I love you," and put it in the window.
Wow.
And I'm sitting across from that. Now, you would think, right, that I would receive that as fully accepting and there's forgiveness and everything, and that would be enough to walk through the door, but it wasn't. It was like a bad dream where you're trying to get somewhere and you can't get there. And it finally did happen. I finally did walk through the door, but I totally believe it was the hand of providence that gave me the power to do that. It wasn't under my own power, because the shame was that strong.
And you can still feel it pretty strongly. I can hear it in your voice, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll never forget that day. You know, and the look on my wife's face, the relief that I was alive, you know, and she wasn't there to judge me. We did have some serious talks that day. But, yeah, she wasn't bringing any shame. I was piling it on myself.
Boy, we really put our loved ones through a lot of hell, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did, my friends.
But we cared more about the drugs.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing about this powerlessness thing. When you're in the powerlessness, you'll step over your grandmother's grave to get – I mean, obsession doesn't conform to reason. It just doesn't.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Obsession doesn't conform to reason. I like that.
And, you know, somebody who's never had an issue with addiction can't fathom what we would have done, what we did do to get high.
No.
And
we got to stop expecting them to get it.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to.
You're right. You're totally right.
You know.
Monty,
yeah.
How's it going out there on the West Coast?
It's going great. We love having you guys as part of our network now. We kind of consider you our sister station. That's kind of how we talk about you.
That's great.
And, it's going well. We're in our 18th year of broadcasting.
Wow.
And, it's been a total gift.
And it's great stuff. Monty posts these, again, it's Take 12 Recovery Radio. Is that how you pronounce it, Take 12 Recovery Radio?
Yeah, Take 12 Recovery Radio. The website is take12radio.com.
And it's Monty Man.
Yes, the man.
My Monty man, Monty Man.
Right. Thanks, guys.
All right, listen, have a great weekend, brother.
Yeah, Monty, good hearing from you.
Yeah.
All right, talk to you later.
Yep, but we'll see you.
See, he's one of the good guys. There's another example like us. He had a horrible situation, and look what he's given back now.
Yeah, he does these podcasts, which are phenomenal. You guys have to look them up. I mean, they're all recovery messages. They look at all kinds of recovery stuff, you know, everything from the steps.
What is it? Take 12 Recovery Radio.
Yes, and you can find them on Facebook, and you can also find them in just podcasts. Yeah.
Absolutely. The Mental Health Abuse and Hotline, 1-800-662-HELP. I can't stress this enough. You need to have that number. And it's not just you're not going to get an animated, you know, voice or recording. Somebody's going to answer that phone, and they're going to try all their power to direct you somewhere to get help.
And don't forget, the suicide hotline is 988.
Yes, it is.
Call. Let someone know. A lot of times, like, when somebody's suicidal, they're stuck in their head. And it's the same kind of isolation that we talk about with addiction. They feel completely alone. Call 988 if you're having suicidal thoughts, and get connected with help.
Good. Very good. Let's see what we have. Okay. We know Kevin, he's set, you know, and his business, you know, he's got it all together. Robin, where do you see yourself in a couple of years, and how are you going to make sure that you don't have another relapse? I know you've been clean now for a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
That's great. That's super. So do you, more than anybody else, you know what to watch out for, not to relapse again, right? Hopefully.
I hope I do. Yeah. Where do I see myself in a couple of years, Gary? Yeah. I mean, I met some really awesome people when I was in rehab, and we're publishing this book.
Great.
It's, if you go to the big book after page 165, the stories that these people tell, they're real, just like we're talking today.
Yeah.
We're going to put that out because there's really nothing out there. So we're just going to try and educate people.
Good.
And that's where I see myself. I see myself helping.
Best of luck to you.
Thank
Kevin,
you
continue doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm and
it's my higher calling.
There you go. There you go. Remember, if you were a loved one, is struggling with addiction, there is a phone number to call, and I'll repeat it. It's 1-800-662-4357 or 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Handler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
And thank you guys for listening and watching. And to learn more about our broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Have a great weekend. Right, brother?
Everybody is a star.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.